This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Whoever you are and wherever you are along your journey of life, you are welcome here. We're glad you're here this morning. And a special word of welcome to our visitors. We're always happy to have visitors with us and hope that you make yourselves at home. There are welcome cards in your programs, in your bulletins, and in the pew racks in front of you. We invite all worshiping to take a moment, fill out a card, place it in the offering. Pastor Carl and I will pray for you following the service by name. And if you have a special prayer request, let us know about that, and we'll include that in our prayer ministries this week. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Lord God, with endless mercy, you receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and the power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to perish, but we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also, no one comprehends what is truly God's, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are discerned spiritually. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes, that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Tyler and Joe were given their parents' fits. They're simply at this age where they had this abundant energy between the two of them. Can you imagine? They were ages 6 and 7, normal kids, but into a lot of mischief and mayhem. And sometimes their dad and mom were at wits' ends, knowing how to cope with the unbounded liveliness of a 6 and a 7-year-old. So the parents got this bright idea. Take the kids to the pastor. Surely the pastor will be able to talk some sense into them, right? Right? So Tyler and Joe were brought over to the church to meet with the pastor, and the pastor wanted to take each one separately. He began with older brother Tyler. Now the pastor was what you might describe as really old school. His strategy was simple. He was going to instill the fear of God into them in an effort to improve their behavior. So, as Joe waited outside in the church office, his older brother went into the pastor's office and they closed the door. And his older brother, Tyler, sat across the desk from his pastor. And the pastor asked Tyler, "Do you know where God is?" See, the pastor was trying to teach him that God was everywhere, watching his every move. "Do you know where God is?" Well, Tyler looked under the pastor's desk. No, God wasn't there. Didn't say anything. "Do you know where God is?" Tyler looked on the bookshelf in back of the pastor sitting there and couldn't see him, didn't say a word. And the pastor is really kind of getting a little ticked, because he wasn't saying anything. He wasn't getting anywhere with this child. And he asked him, so that's usually what pastors do when they can't think of anything else to do. They just talk louder, you know, like in a sermon. "Tyler, do you know where God is?" And Tyler at that moment just was overwhelmed. He got up out of his chair. He ran, opened the door, ran into the outside office and got his little brother Joe. And Joe said, "What happened in there?" And Tyler said, "God is missing and they think that we have something to do with it." It's an old joke, an old story, but whenever I hear it, I smile a bit. But there's also something about that story that's always bothered me. This notion of this all-knowing God, all-seeing police officer, you know? Beware, because if you don't fall in line, this powerful God will get you. Behave. The image of God as that kind of vindictive God, it really bothers me, but I know that's one of the stories that's told about who God is, what God is about. You better mind, or else. That's one story told about God. I wonder how many people in our world have heard that story, or maybe a variation on that story. How many Christians have told that story, and thereby others have heard it and thought, you know, I really don't want to give Jesus a try. All of us live by stories, don't we? In today's gospel story, we have Jesus addressing his disciples, calling them out as salt and light. And it gets better. Because today in Jesus' story, Jesus is also calling you and me, calling us out as light and salt. Imagine that. You are the light of the world. You are salt. the salt of the earth. Sometimes the littlest things make the biggest difference. You're walking around and you have a pebble in your shoe and it causes you pain until you take that little thing out. Or maybe it's the smallest fear, that little worry that you carry around privately with you that makes your life uneasy because it's rough to keep those kind of secrets. It happens in a positive way too. A simple touch of a friend upon your shoulder gives you encouragement, lets you know that you're not alone, that someone else cares. Or maybe you get an encouraging text message out of the blue or a smile. The smallest things can make the biggest difference. We have two little words today about two things, two simple words, two simple things, and the smallness of them is really the issue here. The little grains of salt, and only takes a little. You saw the kids there, they just had to taste a little bit. And little rays of light. It only takes one candle to change the darkness of a room from dark to light that is dawning. Watch out, because that salt and that light, they make a difference. Watch out, Jesus says, don't waste them. They make a difference. And salt and light being that means that we exist not for ourselves, but we exist for the sake of this world that God so loves. We know today, of course, I've known for years, I can't have too much salt, it's not good for me. But in Jesus' day, salt was only seen as a value. It was very valuable. Some cultures actually used it as a kind of currency. Because, remember, if you didn't have a way to keep your food fresh, you could salt it. You could keep it that way by using salt. And think of being paid in salt. You're worth your salt. That comes from those days that people were actually paid in salt. So as Matthew tells us, Jesus tells this to his disciples. He is saying to them, you have this enormous value in the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are worth your salt, so watch out. What exactly does Jesus mean then? Well, salt is seasoning, so maybe Jesus is talking about the zest that salt brings to food. Salt flavors food. Can you imagine eating a potato without anything on it? You need something. Salt is a seasoning that livens up food. So can we say that about us as Christians? We enliven this earth. Wherever we live or work or play, we bring a zest, a joy to the world. But truth be told, as I've noticed, not all Christians do that, bring a joy with them. Years ago, Robert Louis Stevenson wrote in his diary, I'm amazed, he said, I went to church today and I'm actually not depressed. Normally the ministers remind me of undertakers. I hope that Pastor Carl and I don't do that for you. But in fact, I know that it's not the case for the people of San Marcos Lutheran, because as I look around, I see people that flavor this world wherever you are with good humor and hope and vitality and joy. And you get that from your faith in God as followers of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are making a difference. And that's the story that we need to tell to get out to the world. We need to tell a story of a God not waiting to zap us because we don't measure up, but a story about a God who loves us to death. Not a God who is lost somewhere, is missing, but a God who comes to us because God sends us Jesus to look at us through eyes of love and declare that you are the salt and the light for the world. You and I are given a mandate. We are called by Jesus to be salt and to share light. We're called to make a difference in our world. That's just a part of our nature. That's our saltiness. Historians have debated for years and years about this issue of why Christianity took off like wildfire when it began. In the first 250 years of Christianity, it was It was against the law to be a Christian. You were going against the emperor. You're going against Rome. Yet, in fact, every generation in the early church increased their members by 500,000 people. Imagine that. Why? Because Christians offered the world a new story. A new story. Caesar is not God. But the Lord is God. Jesus is God. And that was shocking. It was countercultural. It was a way of living against the status quo. You see, the other religions in the Roman world were all geared towards one kind of group of people, and those were men and people of means and people of status. They were closed clubs. And to have positions there, you had to be male, you had to have status, you had to have means. But Christians told another story, a story about inclusion. Christians are called to accept all people, male and female, slave and free, Jew and Gentile, all are welcomed. The story about God's wildly inclusive love, simply told and lived out by Christians who followed in the way of Jesus. Loving as Jesus loves, that's what the world needs to hear and see. The simple witness of Christians who recognize that they did not ultimately belong to Rome, they didn't ultimately follow the agenda of Caesar, but they followed this agenda of God, this dream of shalom and peace. God's peace, salt and light, can change the world. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Just be who you are. Just be it. It came to me as I was thinking about this passage this week. What's a term that is often used to describe people who live lives of integrity? People who just seem to get it, who quietly go about their lives living, knowing that life is a precious gift of God and we are called to share that gift with others, not because we have to, because we want to, because that's who we are. What do we call folks like that? We call them the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. Disciples of Jesus who see a new world vision, a new way of living, a better world, and want to share that vision with others, and then just simply live it out in the best way that we can. None of us are going to be perfect here, but we're called to do the best we can, passing that life along to others. In the very way that we live, being salt of the earth, sharing the salt and sharing light. My friends, you are salt of the earth. You are light of the world. And God is using you right now and me to bless this creation that God so loves. Back to our story of the two brothers, Tyler and Joe, and the pastor trying to instill this fear of God into them, this avenger God, you know. That's one story. We all live by stories. Think of the stories that people live by. The stories that people tell themselves, might makes right. Really? Or work hard and you're going to get ahead. Okay, that works until it doesn't work. Until you lose a job or there's an illness or something happens. You did work hard, but you seem to be falling behind, not getting ahead. Or that story we tell ourselves, well, watch what you eat, take care of yourself, and you shall live a life of health into old age. Well, it works for some. But I know someone dear to me, my mom, who no one ate healthier than she did and got a cancer diagnosis at age 70 and died 10 months later. What are the stories that we tell ourselves, that we believe that our ultimate stories, those stories that we live by? The more likes that we get on Facebook or Instagram, the happier I'm going to be, really. What are the stories that we tell ourselves? Well, what about this story? not of a God who is lost and out there somewhere waiting to get us if we don't act the way God wants, but this God who loves us to death, so seeks us out and comes to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. God sends us, Jesus, not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him, through that love. That wildly inclusive love that we're called in to be a part of. That God's love that defies our imaginations. That's a story that gets to me. A story that I can't shake. God's love defies our imagination. That's the good news, the gospel, and it gets better because Jesus invites the likes of you and me, people of God here at San Marcos Lutheran Church, to follow him, not always knowing where we're going, but only that God's hand is leading us and guiding us, and we follow the one that knows the way. This Jesus that calls us the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that's a story that gets to me, the story that I want to live the rest of my life by. What about you? And I need to be reminded of that story again and again. That's why I need to come back week after week to hear that story. Sometimes the smallest of things make the biggest difference. A little bit of salt to make all the difference. And when that light shines, even the light of one little candle held up to the darkness, you see, it just gets brighter. It can't get darker. It's Epiphany. We're in the season of light. So be bold and share God's light and pass the salt, because truly, truly, that's what we're all about. Amen.
Confident that our God, our light and our salvation, hears us when we pray, let us offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Jesus, you are the salt, you are the light, and you sprinkle that on us as well. We thank you that we are called to reflect the flavor and the brightness that you bring to our lives, to the rest of the world. Let us pray. And gracious Lord, thank you that you declare us to be salt and light. We thank you that this is our identity in you. We pray that we will confidently live into this identity, knowing that its origin, its source, is you. Let us pray. And Jesus, because you love us, we come before you now with ourselves, our loved ones, our situations that need your grace, your healing, and your peace. These that we pray for now, either aloud or in our hearts. Let us pray. And Lord, we bring before you this world that you love, this world that you came to save. We pray now, Lord, for the situations in China, in Turkey, Iraq and Iran, Libya, Lebanon, Mexico, all areas of the world undergoing trouble and civil unrest. And gracious Lord, we pray for our own nation, that we will be bridge builders, that we will seek your mercy and your justice and give voice to those who have no voice. And Lord, we pray for our creation, that we will be good stewards of the land, the water, the seas. Let us pray. Lord, we ask your blessing on our bishops, Elizabeth and Andy, for the leaders of your church everywhere, and for us, San Marcos Lutheran Church. We ask your blessing today on our annual meeting. And as we look to the past at the wonderful things you've done for us and look forward to the future, wherever it is you may be leading, let us pray. Merciful God, you hear our prayers even before we speak them. Receive them for the sake of the one through whom you have revealed your goodness, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Merciful God, Receive the gifts we bring, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Through this meal, unite us as your body, shining with the light of your justice and mercy, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O holy God, who are the life and light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Through the prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you for Jesus, your Son. He is your light, shining in our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and your might. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching, his healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Holy Spirit, bless us and this meal, that refreshed with heavenly food, we may be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. And gracious God, help us to pray that your agenda of shalom will be our agenda as well. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power, glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God are for the people of God. All are welcome, for Jesus Christ is the host. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gifts of his body and blood strengthen, keep, and unite us now and forever. Amen. O morning star, fair and bright, you have refreshed us again with heavenly food. You are our dearest treasure. Go with us now, today, tomorrow, and every day, that we may tell the story of your never-ending love and sing your praise, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. What a joy it is that we get to be salt and light for the world and are given this task through our wonderful ministries at San Marcos Lutheran. People of God, employed in this ministry every day of the week. Note the other announcements and the note about reading Matthew together in the Haven House ministry that we're part of. And our Catfish Lunch, monthly luncheon, is this Wednesday and this month open. Both men and women, come and be a part of that. If you have questions, you can ask me or Bill Hansen. Note on a service of eternal life for Mary Fawcett in March. And coming up the end of February, the 23rd at 2 o'clock at Carlton Hills Lutheran Church in Santee, the Reverend Andreas Thodey is being installed as their pastor. And Andreas was a member here for about a year during his time of transition as he was awaiting a call. So we're all invited. See me if you want to carpool or have any questions about that. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Follow Jesus, and the blessings of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Go in peace, pass the salt, and be the light of Christ. Thanks be to God.